Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Lisa Apolinski of Three Dog Right, and today we are discussing balancing all the essential moving parts of an agency. Lisa is an international speaker, digital strategist, author, and founder of Three Dog Right. Because of her work with companies to help them develop and share their digital messaging, she has been dubbed America's Digital Content Futurist. Her latest book, Persuade with Digital Content Story, was recently named as one of the top content marketing books by Book Authority. Thanks so much for joining us today, Lisa.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Julie. I'm excited to talk to you.
Likewise. Well, let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So where are you tuning in from today?
I am in the Phoenix metro area, specifically in Gilbert, Arizona.
Okay, very nice. And what would you say motivates or inspires you?
I am motivated to inspire others to greatness. That is my calling.
Yes. Yep. I love that so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And so tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
Oh gosh. So when I started out, I was actually working for a large aluminum manufacturer and I was doing job costing. Mm-hmm. So not marketing.
No.
And my VP of marketing and sales recognized that I could write. And so he started having me do some articles and I was actually really kind of like, wow, you think I'm a good writer? Cause his mother actually is a very famous author.
Oh, wow.
You know, someone who actually is a writer. And, he started having me do, award submissions and articles and different things like that. And it just kind of grew from there, the idea of producing content mm-hmm. and content with purpose. Gotcha. And from there, I just kind of slowly transitioned, like I was being sucked
yeah.
into marketing. But understanding how things were processed, right? When you're mm-hmm. doing job costing, you have to understand how something is built. And,
yes.
and having that understanding is something I've always brought through with me. If I'm going to write about something, if I'm working with a client, I want to understand how their products work mm-hmm. and what their benefit is to their consumer, to their customer.
Yeah.
And that makes it so much easier to talk about it because you
yeah.
actually understand how it works.
Yeah. Kind of put yourself in their shoes and get a really good feel for it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so how did Three Dog Right come about?
So I had started my company as a side business mm-hmm. Back in 2012. I had clients that were coming to me in 2010, 2011, again, asking me to develop content and strategy for them. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, small stuff here and there. And it was January of 2013 in Milan, Italy, and I had the worst day. I can still like picture how upset I was going back to the hotel. Like
yeah.
those memories are still there.
Yeah.
Just a brutal 14-hour day in a beautiful city that you can't enjoy because you've been working mm-hmm. nonstop. Came back to my hotel and I was so frustrated and I did what anyone would do. I called a family member. I called my sister. Mm-hmm. My sister let me rant for a couple minutes, you know, let me kind of diffuse. And then she said, hey, how's it going with the side work, your side business? I'm like, oh my God, it's great. And I started, you know, my entire demeanor changed. I had more energy. It was like, oh, I'm working with this one client and they're using this content and it's helping them do this and do that. And she said, you know, if that's really an amazing thing and you're enjoying that, why is that your side work? Why isn't that your full-time work?
Yeah.
And it had never occurred to me. And that one question completely shifted my thought process and really pushed me on the path that I'm on today. And it will be 10 years next year that I have been in business.
Wow. Isn't that crazy how one day can just completely shift your whole trajectory?
One conversation can shift your entire universe. Yeah.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And then how does Three Dog Write, how do you guys differentiate yourself from your competitors?
I'm kind of an odd duck. I don't like to say competitors because we all can work together in a space and complement one another because no one agency has absolutely everything.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What we differentiate from how we run our business compared to other agencies, and this is because of the experience I had working with agencies from Fortune 100 companies. I've worked with some of the top companies in the world. And you know, you get used to working with agencies, and there were things that they did that drove me insane. And I didn't want to be that. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to show up that way for my clients. Yeah. One thing that differentiates us is we always use data. We don't take strategy A from customer X and then slap it on you and call it a day.
Right.
We look at your digital assets, how you are engaged, what's going on currently in your company and in your industry with other competitors. And based on that data, we can look at how you can actually have impactful strategy immediately. So it's a digital discovery process. It's a proprietary digital discovery process. And we require it of all of our new clients when they come in.
We gotcha.
We can't help you if we don't assess where you are.
Yeah.
And exactly. It scares me when other agencies just follow, oh, we'll do what you were doing before. Well, if that were working, you wouldn't need us.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're not doing a one size fits all solution. It's very customized to each of your clients.
Exactly. Exactly. And the other thing that is very unique to my agency is we actually bake in obsolescence in our engagement. We are not the agency that's going to show up and set up shop in your budget and be there for years to come. Our goal is you have a problem. We come in, we help you truly define it because what you think the problem is could actually be something else. We develop the strategy. We teach it to you. We give you the tools. We help you implement it. And then we get out of your way because you've made it this far without us. You don't need us the entire rest of your journey.
Oh, okay. So, interesting.
So we work in 6 months to year, sometimes, you know, 14, 15 months, but it's really a defined amount of time to give you the tools that you can be successful and then you can go on. And if you hit another bump in the road, you can come back to us, but we're not here to just try to bleed you dry.
You have your budget at heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the last thing that makes us unique is we are not yes people. When you hire my agency, you are asking for our expert opinion. I will make you eat your vegetables. If that is what is required, that is what I will ask you to do. If I allow you to push back and start to dictate to me what the strategy is, I'm no longer the expert in the scenario.
No,
and
it's not going to be.
And again, why are you paying me? You could hire a lower level marketing manager to just implement your stuff.
Yeah.
But again, if the strategies were working for you, you wouldn't need our help.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I think a lot of small businesses, they don't fully realize everything they're getting into necessarily when they hire a digital marketing agency.
Right.
And trusting the professionals is definitely a big component.
Yes. And we typically worked with like small to mid-size, although I do have a couple of clients that are in the billions of dollars. But, you know, it's funny, if you work with a company that makes 10 million a year, you work with a company that makes 100 million a year or 10 billion a year, they all have the same problems. They all, because human nature is very similar.
Yeah.
There's this tendency to try to go back to what you know, to just take what you've done and just double the effort. instead of saying, okay, time out, step back, this isn't working, let's look at the data and see what else we can test. Yeah. And it's just really interesting to work with companies. And again, I've been on now both sides of the equation with Fortune 100 companies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I've worked in them, I can, you know, I know how to navigate with my team to help them really hit the goals they're looking to hit. And again, yeah. get in, help you, give you the tools, and then get out.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. So let's delve into our topic now and discuss how to move or how to balance all the moving parts of an agency. So the million-dollar question is there a secret to effectively balancing all the moving parts, you know, when you're running an agency to keep not only your clients and your staff happy, but ensure you're profitable and then, you know, bringing in new business? So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I wish I had like a silver bullet. One of the things that I've noticed in the near decade that I've been in business is as your agency grows, the way you balance things also changes. Mm-hmm. What I did when I was first starting out is very different than what I do now. And it's not that it was inappropriate. It's just that time frame, that season required one thing and this season requires something else.
Yes.
One of the things that I had to learn, and I had to learn it the hard way, was that you can't be the quarterback and pass out the Gatorade, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to find a way of kind of letting go of that control,
yeah.
and allowing other people that you've hired or that you work with to step in and assist you. And that is so hard for business owners.
Yeah,
and I don't care.
Not micromanaging.
If it's a small company or they've gotten into the millions, they still want to be hands-on,
mm-hmm.
and that does not allow for true growth.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I wish someone had told me when I first started out is your journey is your own. No one else's journey is the same as yours.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be slow growing, if you want to cap at a certain point because that's where you're comfortable, that's okay. You don't have to have 1 million in sales, 5 million in sales, 10 million in sales. It's whatever works for you. And I wish someone had told me that because I put so much pressure on myself. And now I'm like, I don't need to do that. I just need to get up every day and say, hey, I'm going to affect my clients. I'm going to inspire them to greatness. I'm going to help them get over their challenges and feel really good about it. Whatever that looks like. It doesn't have to be a formula that everyone else does. That's a dangerous thing to compare your journey with someone else's.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so common in this day and age, especially with social media.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what is your top priority or responsibility within the business?
I feel like I have two main responsibilities. First of all, I work to make sure that I have touch points with my clients. I might not do all the work, but mm-hmm. I want to make sure that they have engagement with me. Again, this goes back to, and that's what colors how I lead my agency. This goes back to my days, you know, in these Fortune 100 companies mm-hmm. where you'd connect with someone and then your work would be given to someone who, you know, had 2 years of experience and you'd have to be sitting there fighting and trying to get stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
My agency doesn't work that way. I am a little more hands-on than most agencies, although I do have, you know, a dozen support staff that help me, but mm-hmm. I try to be that liaison because again, you know, I can assist with at least project managing and making sure all the pieces are running the way they need to
mm-hmm.
because I've done all the work.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. I've done the stuff that I've had to do. Kind of insane. I've done coding for websites. I actually can code in CSS. I've done email marketing and automation. I've done digital content. I've actually done graphics and I'm not a graphic designer. Like I am a jack of all trades. So I know how things should go.
Yeah.
But that my team members know that I know how you're supposed to do it. So do it right and do it right the first time, which is ideal.
Absolutely.
The other thing that I work on is just making sure my business is compliant mm-hmm. with all the regulations that I have to be under, right?
Right.
It's something that a lot of businesses, you don't think about it, and it does take time. You know, are you filing your taxes and your quarterly statements and your shareholder minutes and all of that, and you're making sure that you're staying in accordance with the laws of your state. That's a huge one. Our business is certified small business and woman owned by WeBank. And every year I have to go through that certification, and that's a long process. So okay. there's things that I work on to make sure, but I have I know when things are coming. It's not like it's a surprise, mm-hmm. which is nice. So I actually have each month and each quarter, I have things that I know that are coming up that are goals so that I can so I can shift my work accordingly. If I need to rely a little more heavily on my staff, I can do that. This time of year, for whatever reason, actually I know what the reason is, but it's always the busiest time of year for us. This time all the way through March. Mm-hmm. It's like people are like, we have budget, we need to spend it. And they kind of lose their minds and they throw a bunch of work at us. So I had already anticipated that and started shifting things around with my team members mm-hmm. to make sure that we could support whatever work was going to come our way. The other thing that we do, which again, most agencies don't do, but again, it's my journey and my agency's journey and has worked really well for me and what we do and how we impact our clients is mm-hmm. we only take a certain number of clients every year.
That's
we smart. Actually stay a little bit smaller because yep. I want to have that hands-on working so I don't lose my skill sets.
And produce digital a higher quality of work.
Yeah. And digital marketing changes like every other day.
Yeah.
So if I'm not a little bit in the thick of it and paying attention, you know, I could be thinking strategy works and it hasn't worked for a year.
Yeah. And so how do you stay up to date with that? It's changing so quickly.
I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of webinars and forums. Mm-hmm. There are thought leaders that I follow who do research. So I'm constantly in a learning mode to make sure that I have, you know, I understand what's coming up. We're in a weird time, especially with the pandemic, like everything shifted.
Yeah.
And just my research, you know, for my books, has kept me a little more up to date. So, yeah.
So is that your role in the company, you know, keeping up to date with current information, or is that something that you delegate to other people in your team as well?
I encourage them to research, but I also, you know, pull all that information together and then document it for them and say, here's a good book, here's a good article. So I'm kind of filtering that for them
gotcha.
So that they can stay up to date as well. Yeah.
Okay. And then what about sales and bringing in new work? Is that something that you're responsible for, or is it, you know, kind of coming to you? Are you at that point where it's pretty much all word of mouth? How does that work?
I have been incredibly, incredibly blessed that mm-hmm. I am a marketing agency that's had to do no marketing.
That's amazing.
Which is fantastic.
Yes.
Now, it's not to say that I'm not doing thought leadership. So marketing is one thing. Thought leadership is something else.
Yep.
What I do focus on is putting out articles, podcasts, mm-hmm. books that highlight new things that I've discovered, things that I want to share with the community to help them be more successful at what they are doing. And because I constantly put that kind of content out, a lot of this is very much word of mouth. I get calls a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. And do you have any tips for effectively managing your time to ensure you don't fall behind on anything?
So I'm a huge believer in documentation. Mm-hmm. Write everything down. Have a list, have a schedule. I just glanced at my whiteboard. I have whiteboards all over my house.
Yeah.
I have a whiteboard for, you know, home because I have to manage my own home. I have a whiteboard for the activities I'm doing for the day. I have a whiteboard for, you know, business management and business development. I have whiteboards everywhere, and mm-hmm. and I believe in writing everything down. And then when I see it visually, I know how things are going to go.
Okay.
And it also then allows me to really use my time effectively. And every business owner has to do this. If you're not squeezing every ounce of activity and action out of every single minute of your workday, you're missing opportunities.
Absolutely.
And that's not to say that you have to do like all day Friday, I'm going to do business development. If you are looking to do business development and you know, you're looking just to, you know, for me, it's to engage with someone I know, someone in my community, someone that I want to know in my community. Mm-hmm. One call a day, one email a day, 5 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
Start your morning off where you make one phone call.
Yeah.
One email.
Something that'll move the needle.
Something that'll move the needle. Every single day, if you do it, things start to build. It's like a snowball.
Yes.
So I look at my entire work week. So actually, I'm going to take the back. I look at the entire year, and then I have it broken down by quarter, then by month, then by week, mm-hmm. then by day. So I kind of go further down the pipeline that way with my whiteboards. So
okay.
I know what's happening for the year. So I can have that in the back of my mind. Okay, this is where I'm driving towards. And that could be for an agency or a business, whether it's a revenue goal, sales, number of clients, whatever your goal is, you can mm-hmm. see where it is and you can be driving towards that. It's your long-term destination.
And is the whiteboards more for personal, like for you, or is this something your whole team looks at as well?
It's for me.
Just for me.
Yeah. I manage my team from a client standpoint and making sure that they understand what their work is and when it's due.
Yeah.
And I'm again, so blessed that the team members I have, they're people that I've worked with in the past. I mm-hmm. know them, I know them well, and I know that they can manage themselves. And I don't have to sit on them.
Yes.
Which is great.
That's amazing.
That's so rare.
Yes.
Yeah. And they let me know in advance, hey, I'm going to be, I need to take off, or hey, this is happening. And then because we're planning in advance, you can actually move things around a little bit because you've given yourself time, which is fantastic.
Exactly.
But by breaking it down that way, it's much easier. And then again, I don't try to do like 4 hours of business development because who wants to do that? That sounds awful. That sounds terrible, but 5 minutes you probably could do.
Yeah.
Can you overlap things? Like, can you be having a call while you're taking a walk with your dog?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Just boosting productivity.
And again, asking one of your team members to take notes for you.
Yep.
That's the other thing that I absolutely think is critical. You have to give your mind and your body a break from being on the computer.
Yes.
You absolutely have to. You have to give yourself multiple breaks throughout the day mm-hmm. to step away from all your technology and just do something different. And there are studies that show that at a certain point, your ability to process, to be productive, you start having really low returns. And having that time away, people think, I just have to power through. I don't believe in that. I think it's okay to listen to yourself. And if you're like, oh, I'm stuck. And that happens all the time to me when I'm writing.
Yeah.
You're a writer. You sometimes get writer's block and you have to literally just stop writing, step away from it, do something completely different.
Get some fresh air.
Come back.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know I do a workout in the morning, and then I've started doing a workout around 2 o'clock in the afternoon as well. Mm-hmm. And it's been a game changer. And I find I'm actually getting tired earlier. So I'm going to bed earlier. I'm waking up earlier, and it's like a really great habit I've gotten into. So
yeah.
And then you're just more productive in general. So
absolutely. And when you map things out, you don't live by habit. You live by intent.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you actually have an intention for your day. These are the three things that I want to accomplish. Boom, boom, boom. And if I have time, here are a couple more, but these aren't as critical. These are the three things that I have to complete today, or two things I have to complete today. And again, if you break it down that way, it's not nearly as overwhelming. If I told you, I need you to do 10 things for this week, you'd be like, oh my God. But if I said, hey, I need you to do this one thing for today, you'd be like, yeah, I got that. It's the same thing for yourself.
Very good. So I'd love to talk a little bit more about finding that work-life balance. So, you know, you mentioned that you take breaks. Is there anything else that you do to kind of, you know, find that balance in your life so you don't get burnt out and overwhelmed?
Yeah. So I end my workday, or I should say I pause my workday, because sometimes I go back to it if I feel inspired. But yeah, I have two dogs that are like, hey, lady, it's 4 o'clock and it's time to feed us and walk us. Shut that computer off. And I mean, my puppy will crawl all over my laptop and lick me and be like, stop working. And you know, it's like, okay, I got to stop working.
Yeah. How can you say no to a puppy?
You know, I'm originally from Chicago and we are workhorses in the Midwest. And you know, it's like working until basically you fall down.
Yeah.
And thinking, you know what, you don't have to do that. You don't have to put in a 14-hour day. Like, who are you impressing by doing that?
Yeah.
You're playing a long game. Yeah, you're playing a long game because you're allowing yourself to work for way longer in the future by, you know, again, being mindful and listening to your body and listening to, you know, what's going on within you.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I do. I always end my work day. I sometimes work the weekends. Mm-hmm. That happens. Sometimes I'm like, you know, I have a lot of stuff, or hey, I'm inspired, but I don't put pressure on myself to work every weekend. I don't put pressure on myself to say, you have to work till 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's okay to take breaks during the day. It's okay to take a vacation, and it's also okay on your vacation to work a couple hours in the morning.
Yeah.
If that's what works for you, again, it's your journey. Nobody else but yours.
Yeah.
You have to do what feels right for you.
Yeah.
The other thing that I do is I try to incorporate other things so that I'm not just doing work. Mm-hmm. I take violin lessons. At my age, I take violin lessons, which is hilarious because there are all these like little kids and there's me. Don't care.
I love that.
I paint. You know, living in Arizona and now it's finally getting cooler. You know, we're taking longer walks. We can start hiking again, bike riding.
That's amazing.
Just anything, you know, think about when you were in school, in grade school and high school, you did art, you did PE. There's a method to that because it can't always be study. There has to be other activities to engage other parts of your brain.
Yeah. Just living a well-rounded life.
Yeah. And giving yourself permission to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are times where I'm like, oh, I really should finish this. And I'm like, you know what? I'm tired. My mind is like mush right now. It's not going to be as good. I should wait until the morning when I'm refreshed and then go at it again. And it'll be a lot faster.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to eke something out. And I also think, you know, is this what I would want to give my clients? No. I want to give them the best work that I have. I want to give them 110% every single time. And if I'm not there, it's okay to take a pause and then come back to it.
I love that. And then what are some lessons you'd say that you've learned from owning a marketing agency?
Again, first and foremost, my journey is my journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need to feel that I have to be at a certain place, have a certain amount of revenue. Whatever my journey is mine.
Yep.
Number two, it's really, really good to have an exit strategy. And it took me several years to be like, oh yeah, where do I want to go with my agency? What will I want to do with it in a year, 5 years, 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to sell it? Do I want to just maintain it? Do I want to, you know, bring a family member in to run it and, you know, pass it off or, you know, give it to that person?
Yeah.
Do I want to just work until I'm like, meh, and then just shut the doors? What do I want to do with it?
Just having a plan.
Yeah, just having a plan. And your plan can change. My plan has changed several times over the course of these last 10 years. I had plan A and I went to plan B and I'm on plan C and I could go to plan D and that's okay. Yeah. I might go back to plan A. Who cares?
It's your story, right?
It's my story and my journey. I can do whatever I want.
Yep.
And the other thing I wish people had told me is that, you know, there are seasons within your business. Mm-hmm. When I first started out, you know, you're struggling, you just want to get your foot in the door, and you put up with a lot of nonsense from clients.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy, the kind of nonsense you'll put up with. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, oh, I'm so dumb that I did that. And I've rethought those instances. It's not that I was stupid. It's that that was what worked at that point in time.
Yeah.
Simply is what it is. And I learned from it. Absolutely. Do I have to give in to clients? No. You know, do I have to take every client? No. That's the other thing that was nice to learn. There are clients that simply don't fit you and your model, and that's yes. okay.
Yes.
If you can't give them what you believe they need in order to be successful, whether it's a personality conflict, mm-hmm. whether they're just really have a story attached to how they've done things in the past and they just don't want to let go of it.
Yeah.
And you're just never going to break through.
Yeah.
You're not the right person for them. Or if they just want someone who's going to go, yep, we'll do that. Yep, we'll do that.
Yeah. Or maybe they just take up too much of your time as well.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Where it's a smaller project and they're taking 80% of your time and you're like, time out. And they don't understand that you have other clients.
Yeah.
It's okay to say, you know what, you know, try to give them benefit of the doubt and work with them, but it's okay at the end to say, you know what, I'm not going to be able to give you what you're looking for. And this, you know, I know that this isn't working because I can feel it. And I'm sure you can feel it too. And I think it's best that you find someone else that matches better to where you are right now with your business. And that's okay.
Absolutely.
You're honoring that client by recognizing and acknowledging that.
Yeah. And honoring yourself as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Those are the three big ones.
Those are all really great points.
Yeah.
So where do you see Three Dog Right in 5 years' time?
So it's funny when people ask me that, but, prior I was like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, it depends. What I'm hoping to build towards is either a partnership or simply to be absorbed by another agency.
Okay.
I think that would be a great next chapter for my company.
Yes.
We doubled revenue in 2020.
That's amazing.
Yes, in the middle of the pandemic.
Wow.
Doubled my revenue.
Yeah.
Everyone's
going online.
Yeah. It's been bananas. Just bananas. And not at the same time. I'm like, nah, you know, it's not like this wasn't something I was planning. And it's not like I've never been in this situation before. So yeah, this makes sense that people are like, help us.
Yes.
And for this year, you know, we're definitely on track to maybe not double, but, you know, a sizable increase in revenue.
That's great.
And that's what we're looking at right now for our journey. And again, you know, we limit the number of clients we work with. So mm-hmm. the clients who want to work with us, you know, are happy to pay, you know, to get the strategies that actually work. And they're also, you know, again, we work, you know, primarily with Fortune 100 companies. And one of the things that people find really, really great from those companies is we don't advertise who we work with. You go to my website, we don't have a list of clients we have or are working with.
Okay.
They are happy to have that discretion because again, we come in, we help them and we get out.
Yeah.
It's just a little boost to their team. And a lot of companies really appreciate that because, you know, when you have a list of people on your website, not only are you giving your competitors a target list, but you're also then these companies you're working with, these clients, they start getting bombarded with sales calls.
Right.
And nobody wants that.
No.
I wouldn't want that. I'd be like, oh, stop calling me.
Yeah.
I have enough I have to do. So that seems to be really, really refreshing that we absolutely are very, very discreet in who we work with.
Yes.
And we work with some very, very large companies. And again, that's, you know, yeah, we work with a lot of companies. Yep.
That's awesome. Well, client confidentiality is huge, you know? So that's really great that you respect that. Because that is something I've noticed across the industry is, you know, most agencies do advertise that on their websites. So,
yeah. And I feel like that model has kind of gone to the wayside. That, you know, your brand dropping, right? Your name dropping.
Yeah.
I think if you have a really good understanding of how things work, you're forward thinking, and people, when they come to you, they get solutions. Mm-hmm. That will spread faster than you saying, I work with X or I work with Y. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be known, you know, kind of on the down low about my agency and the fact that, yeah, you know, she's kind of a pain in the butt, but you know what? She helps us make money. We should hire that agency. I'd rather have those conversations in a room when I'm not there than, oh yeah, you know, she works with, you know, whoever.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first I have the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions.
Yep.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I love Mark Schaefer, and he knows this. His latest book, The Cumulative Advantage, is an absolute must read.
Okay.
It's a marketing and leadership book that helps you understand how marketing works today.
Okay.
And how it will work in the future.
Interesting.
Absolute must read. Yep.
Noted. Yeah. And what does your morning routine look like?
My dogs get me up at between 6 and 6:30. And the first thing I do is I take them for a walk. My German Shepherd is much older and she can only walk like a couple of blocks and I have to drop her back off. And then I take a much longer walk with my puppy. Mm-hmm. And my puppy is like the social butterfly of the neighborhood. So I carve out an hour where we're walking around. It's not like we go super far, but she has to say good morning to everybody who is around. And it's fantastic because it really reminds me of my community, my neighborhood, and my purpose here.
Yeah.
And then after I've, you know, kind of fed them and had breakfast and everything, again, I go to my whiteboard and I see what's on my agenda for today. And I just start boom, 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 knocking things out.
Yeah. You got that. You got your fresh air, you got your exercise, and now you're just ready to tackle the day.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Someone who I really admire, is Ashley Sumner. She's the CEO of Quilt.
Okay.
She is fantastic. Kara Goodwin, who is the CEO of Hint, who I also know, is another person that I follow and read, and she has some, I mean, she just did a post on LinkedIn, said how fracturing her, I think her knee in three places help her with her leadership skills. I mean, she's fantastic. She's absolutely fantastic. And, Heidi Zak is also another CEO who I also know, who is fantastic. And just seeing her journey with Third Love has been amazing. So all very powerful women, down to earth and, you know, really relatable. All three of them are very relatable.
That's great. Yeah. And what is your favorite online tool?
Because I'm kind of a data geek, one of the things that I love is Google Analytics. I don't think we use Google Analytics nearly enough.
Mm-hmm.
I love the tool because it's very encompassing and it's free.
Yes.
Anyone who has worked with me knows that if there's a tool that's free, you use it.
Yeah.
You can get so much information out of Google Analytics. And I think a lot of companies don't look at what is happening with the referral track of their website, you know, how people go through their digital journey through their digital assets to be able to see, hey, what's something we're not doing well, or hey, is there a new trend that's happening that maybe we should capitalize on? Looking at your Google Analytics every week, and I know it's a pain. I know it's like, oh, one more thing you're adding to my list.
Yeah,
and I feel you, because there are weeks where I'm like, whoops, I didn't look. But I know that when I do look, I can really glean, again, trying to decide on strategies based on evidence so that you're not just guessing. You're saying, okay, this is has a higher probability of working, so I'm going to focus on this.
Excellent. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
You know, one thing I wish I had known is not everyone's journey is the same, and where you start doesn't mean it's where you're going to end. When I started my career, you know, 2.5 decades ago, I thought I was going to be a CMO or a CEO of a larger company. I thought I was just going to move up the corporate ladder and do that. My personality is not super conducive to political Fortune 100 corporate structure. I often joke that I have a big mouth and I'm not afraid to use it. And it got me in trouble a lot when I was, I shouldn't say a lot, but it did get me in trouble on occasion in some of my larger companies. And it wasn't that I was trying to be disrespectful, but I certainly am like, hey, this doesn't look right. Or, hey, I'm looking at this, or, hey, I'm questioning that. Which is great for a consultant, not so much for a marketing manager or marketing director.
And
I joke that, you know, don't really, you know, beat yourself up if you kind of, you know, come up against a wall a little bit in where you're at. I was written up twice for insubordination.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's not like I was trying to be insubordinate. I just asked a lot of questions and, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe we made some people uncomfortable. But now, in my agency side, I'm able to really bring those questions to light. And I, you know, I did learn. I asked the questions in a different way where, you know, it really brings together possibility. So that, you know, you do learn as you go through, you learn by doing. So
yes, absolutely.
It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to have mishaps. It doesn't define who you are.
No.
One mishap does not define you.
No,
you just have to keep learning and keep learning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I wish someone had said that to me when I was younger, like, don't worry about it. Just keep going.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Lisa. It's been really great chatting with you.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.